The Phil Hendry Show, brought to you by United Healthcare. It just makes sense.
Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
On our show tonight, we're going to have Don Kilgallen, who's a sports writer with the Dallas Evening Telegram, and he's going to talk with us about today's Hall of Fame balloting in baseball. Why do some players make it, and why do other players not make it? And he'll be talking about, for instance, why Thurman Munson has not made the Hall of Fame in baseball. One of the reasons is... And it's kind of a touchy subject, but a lot of the writers don't feel it proper to vote a guy into the Hall of Fame who didn't really know how to lower the flaps on a jet, you know, when he was coming in for a landing. So there's that problem. Also, and of course, there is that question, you know, Cap Anson's in the Hall of Fame, and he was a racist. He was a member of the Ku Klux Klan, as was Trespeaker. But at least they were devoted to what they believed in. And then also, why is it a bad idea that Wade Boggs made it? Because basically Wade Boggs isn't very bright. When your kid goes to Cooperstown and sees the bust of Wade Boggs, he'll be looking into dead, empty eyes. Okay. At least that's what Don says. 1-800-449-8686. Also tonight, Gene and Mary Templeton wine tasting. And they're going to be tasting wines made by celebrities. Greg Norman makes a wine. Did you know that? The golfer. Francis Ford Coppola makes a wine. People that you wouldn't even imagine make wines. I don't know. Right now, Bud, can you think of any?
What about the Brady Bunch?
Yeah, there's probably a Brady Bunch wine. Michael Andretti makes a wine. Of course, he's an Italian, so I guess that makes sense. They'll be drinking that stuff and telling us what they think about it. And we'll also have on our program tonight, Tongueless Eddie Van Halen will be with us. It's been a long time since we've heard from Eddie. One of the reasons why we haven't heard from him, he's missing half of his tongue. But... we do want to talk to him about Michael Jackson's problems. You know, Eddie played guitar on Beat It. And Pastor William Rennick will be with us to talk about the Ten Commandments and how black folks really only need to obey six or seven of them. Mostly it's a white man's code. 1-800-449. Oh, yeah, what about that reality show, Bud?
Yeah, it'll be coming up later on.
We have a new reality show, Who Wants to Be a Pagan Sacrifice? That's tonight. 1-800-449-8686. As you know, we have email. It comes to our Backstage Pass account. Now, I can't really figure what this guy was thinking when he sent me this email. I just got it, and I printed it off, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's a very complimentary email. And the email is signed by someone named Daniel Stoss at, he says, the Tampa Tribune. And the reason why I mention his name, and maybe Daniel Stoss didn't send this. And if you didn't, Daniel, somebody's using your Backstage Pass account. Or maybe someone inserted this comment. But it's a really nice long letter. But at the top, he references a picture that I have on my homepage. Now, look. I don't make any apologies. A lot of people send us vicious... I've gotten such vicious email over the years because... why? Well, gee, because I happen to support the troops and their mission in Iraq. In other words, I don't do the thing which is what most people do is this really comfortable, ambiguous, noncommittal. I support the troops. Well, do you think they should be in Iraq? Well, I just support the troops. Yeah, but do you think that they should be over there shooting as many insurgents as they can? You know what? Let's just leave it at that. I support the troops. Well, do you think they should have guns? I support the troops. Do you think they should shoot people if they need to? I support the troops. How about self-defense? Will you please? You want to put your hands around her throat. And we've gotten really hateful, vicious email because I supported President Bush's war in Iraq. And I got these dumbasses writing me letters like, you know, if you didn't introduce politics in your show, everything would be fine. But, well, I'm sorry. The program is what it is. Sometimes things build up and you want to say something about it. I'm not apologizing. I ain't holding back. This ain't the Rush Limbaugh show. Everybody wants to paint you with the same brush because most people aren't very bright when it comes to this stuff. So if you support that, then you must be some sort of a like Bible banging conservative. Actually, I'm not, but not that it matters to anybody. And I don't really care. I do what I do, and if you don't dig it, then, you know, listen to another show. There's a million of them out there. There's millions and millions of shows. They ain't as good as this one, but you're welcome to try. Or you can watch TV. I understand Ryan Seacrest is going to be coming out of the closet this week, so that'll be interesting. In any event, I put a picture on my website of an American soldier holding an Iraqi baby. The reason why I thought it was very compelling is because the soldier is not even looking at the camera. He's sort of staring off in the distance as if to say, I don't really care if you're taking my picture or not. I'm doing my job. I'm taking care of this child. And I thought it was a nice picture. This douchebag from Tampa sends me an email with the following heading. The soldier's holding the baby probably because he just gunned down its parents. Okay? Now, that's cool. That's fine. But then he goes on to write me a big, long letter about how he loves my show. So guess what I did? I forwarded it to MIS. I said, cancel this piece of garbage's backstage pass. Thank you so very deeply. Hey, dude, I don't need your $6.95. Keep your money, and good luck down there in Tampa, whatever it is you're doing. He says he's also a political cartoonist because he just gunned down its parents. Man, I thought that this guy's got to be just one of those sort of Vietnam-era people, you know, probably a little Generation X, Generation Y, and he missed the Vietnam party, so he wants to do the whole baby killer thing all over again. That is so, like, that's about as shop-worn and tarnished as the buttons on your grandma's shoes, dude. Find something else to, you get another argument. Baby killer, huh? Anyway, I got a link to really nice pictures from Iraq. I guess they're ones that people don't want to see. One of them shows, like, them giving candy to kids. I guess that's bad. And then another one shows them, you know, helping kids at a hospital. Army doctors and Marine doctors giving the kids checkups. I guess that's pretty much a war crime. And then another one that shows, like, a young female soldier, and she's taking her helmet off, put on a head of another kid. So that's probably a Nuremberg war crime. And then there's one of them, doing stuff like rolling phone line, trying to get phones set up. So that's probably something that I'll be in Spandau prison for. And on it goes. The baby killing doesn't stop. I think a lot of these people are upset because they don't have enough dead baby pictures to put on their websites so they can feel good about themselves. Like the lady that sent me that email saying, does anyone have any information about the soldier who said, now dig this, because I got this. She sent me this thing. Does anyone have any information about the soldier who said, after I killed my 10th child, I stopped counting, right? I emailed her back. I said, that's total and utter mule dung. That was never said. I challenge you to prove it. She goes, well, actually, I did find the source, right? She sent me the email back. So I said, okay, yeah, I would like to see that source. Please do email it to me. That's the last I ever heard from her. So she didn't find any source. Yeah, she found her source all right. She's been reading some, I'll tell you what her source was, like about 15 peyote buttons. And like a Carlos Castaneda novel. So anyway, Daniel Stoss down there in Tampa, thanks so very much for your business, but keep it, man. Who needs it? And anybody else, I just got to tell you, you know.
So what are you going to do? You're going to cancel everybody just because they're criticizing you?
No, not because they're criticizing me. When they come up with some ham-handed thing like probably he gunned down its parents. I mean, the only guy around here who's allowed to be ham-handed and tasteless is me.
Well, that's true.
I don't need it for my my backstage pass jackballs. So, Jack Bull, you're all jacked up. 1-800-449-8686. So, tonight on the Phil Hendry Show, we'll be talking not only with Don Kilgallen, the sports writer. Dave Oliva will be joining us. He works over at a steakhouse, and he's studying to be LAPD, and part of his enforcement training is he likes people to stack their plates neatly on their tables when they're done eating. Because it's kind of gross for the busboy to come over and pick your slop up. And if you don't, then he goes to the door of the restaurant as you're getting in your car, and he goes, okay, thanks a lot, man. Yeah, thanks. Thank you. You imagine a waiter coming to the door. Anyway, that's Dave Oliva will be on tonight here on the Phil Hendry Show. And we'll also be, of course, as I mentioned, having Gene and Mary Templeton on, and Who Wants to Be a Pagan Sacrifice, all tonight on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming up, we've got a by-request listener flashback in just a few moments. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. One 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Time now for our By Request listener flashback, and this comes to us from Bill. And he says, Phil, please replay this. It's great. It was Pastor William Renick. He believes that it'd be best that white people work on Martin Luther King Day. After all, a white man did assassinate him, so what are you people taking the day off for? Here it is, Pastor William Renick, Martin Luther King Day, a By Request listener flashback from Bill.
To the pastor.
Yes, sir, how are you?
Okay, I'm fine. I'm black, first of all. I want to get that point out now.
All right, brother, how are you today?
I'm 27, and I don't want to offend anybody, but I have to say that all the comments that you're making, it's those type of comments that make me ashamed to be black, because, first of all,
you're misunderstanding me.
No, hold on. I'm listening to what you're saying, but white folks this and white folks that and all that, come on, man. That's like back in, like, 60s and 70s, man. This is like 05 now.
Well, I understand, all, 05. The way you talk
now is what promotes anger and gets other people mad. Like, you just got me mad. I'm black.
Let's look at this. I can get my white people. See, I got black and white people in my congregation. I get my whites to come down to the church on Martin Luther King birthday. They'll come out, clean up some of the garbage, haul out some trash and leaves, scrub out some toilets. That saved my church fund $10,000 for a whirlwind vacation to the Holy Land.
That don't got nothing to do with Martin Luther King.
What you talking about?
First of all, I don't want to argue with you. I don't want to get away from the point, but I'm pretty sure you go to church on Sunday, which you're really not supposed to. You're supposed to go to church on Saturday, and you're bringing up Christmas, the pagan holiday. Read your Bible.
Hold on for a minute. I'm Pentecostal. I go to church every day.
Read your Bible that you preach out of. Okay, first of all, white folks, you can't be saying that, man. That's back in the day.
Look, back in the day. You got a white man.
It's 2005 now.
What you going to think of your Martin Luther King birthday? You are celebrating Martin Luther King, and you go down the street. Then a white man coming out of Taco Bell, and you say, now, let me ask you something, sir. What day is today? Go, hell,
you know what?
New Year's Day.
Let me tell you something. I'm not faulting all white people.
They're the ones that made a whole.
For what somebody did.
They started the whole thing.
I can't hold everybody accountable for
that. Look, brother, if they had not taken
you. You know why? I used to live in Oklahoma. I had more white friends than I had black friends because most of the black friends I had wasn't about nothing.
Look, brother, I got to tell you something. Well, that's old. That Saturday church is Old Testament. New Testament Sunday. I ain't a Jew. I don't do temple. All right?
Christian. Well, we ain't here to talk. We're not debating church.
And number two, we're not debating church. We wouldn't be in this bind today. A white man had come to Africa and brought your ass, my ass, over here.
No. If you read your history, yeah. Africans were taking other Africans as slaves.
You got the white man mind. I knew it. You got the white man brain in you.
You're killing me, man.
Yeah, I'm killing you. You know you got that coconut brain going on.
We were taking each other as slaves before he even came in the picture.
We would have been running free had the white man not come and put your ass in a net.
You and me, we don't got nothing to do with Africa. We were born here. We ain't got Africans. They don't even like us.
I look in the mirror. I was watching the National Geographic the other night.
You don't look nothing like the people over there. They don't care no less about you.
Let me tell you what. I'm watching National Geographic. I looked at this brother on TV. I looked in the mirror. I said, hell, I look just like that Ubangi chief they had on there. All right, look,
this is off the point. I got to agree to a point here with our caller, David, that can't we move ahead as opposed to continuing this separation?
Look, my soul is African. When God speaks to me, it's an African.
Come on, man. We ain't got nothing to do with
it. Does God speak to you in Swahili? It doesn't me.
Well, hello, I'm Gene Templeton. My wife Mary is here, and welcome to Wine Tasting here on the Phil Hendry program. Mary, we've got a good selection of wines, I know, to talk to people about. We're so busy. We're going to the Smothers Brothers tasting next week as well.
I just got off the phone with two friends of mine who were at a party this weekend, Gene, and we want to tell people about this. There was boxed wine.
Well, boxed wine is making its way to a lot of parties. I'll tell you this. If I come to a party at your house and I walk into your kitchen and you're standing near two boxes of wine, and one's red and one's white, and you're sort of manning the tap, and you ask me, do I want a red or a white, I'll be on the news that night. I'll be on the news, and you'll be in a blue barrel carried out by hazmat suit-wearing guys into a van. How do you feel about that? Ouch.
I think what Gene's saying is he doesn't like box wine.
Bingo. Okay, let's talk right now about some of the great wines that are being produced by celebrities. Now, understand that celebrities, just because their name is on a wine, doesn't mean it tastes good. So with that in mind, Mary, what have you got?
Well, this is a Greg Norman. Greg Norman makes wine.
The golfer?
Yes. And this is a Greg Norman wine. And it's a beautiful, it's sort of an Australian red. Let's taste it.
All right. Now, remember, when you're tasting wine, you want to get a little bouquet going there. Oh, Jesus, I think everybody else tasted it, too. And, yep, they got exactly what I got. I'm getting the fine bouquet of sphincter. All right, let's move on to another wine here.
Yeah, the aftertaste is congealed egg vomit, and I'm getting almost a broccoli fart scent.
Yes. I'm also getting latrine.
And I'm getting, just getting sort of the scent of decaying flesh. That's what I'm getting.
Okay, let's move on here. Francis Ford Coppola has made a wine. The Nebum Coppola Winery has been making wine for 25 years. And people buy it, not because it's good, but because his name is on it. Now, let's taste this Francis Ford Coppola wine. This is a Merlot, or what they call a Merlot. And what I'm getting now, how do you like the bouquet? I'm getting arse. Yep, that's what I'm getting, too. All right, now you get the bouquet. Let's taste. I'm getting a hint of sewer. And I'm getting sort of the consistency of a nice, a very mild, mildewed bilge water.
The other thing that's wonderful about the Coppola is the way, bottle after bottle, they're able to get that hint of portisan.
Yes. Never, ever fails. All right, now, Sam Neill was in the film Jurassic Park. We all know Sam Neill's work. He was also in The Omen, wasn't he?
Oh, that movie scared me. Boy, I'll tell you, I streaked after that movie.
And when you say you streaked, you weren't running around nude.
No. I needed Clorox bleach.
All right. Sam Neill has a winery called Two Paddocks Winery in New Zealand, and we're going to try his, they say, quote, seductive Pinot Noir. So let's just try the seductive Pinot Noir. Okay, what are you getting?
I am getting just a slight kernel of corn in a baby's diaper.
That is a very fragrant. I'm getting pre-pinched loaf.
And I'm also getting, the Sam Neill Pinot Noir is well known for its ability to give you just the feeling that you have opened the refrigerator and stuck your nose in 2-week chicken chow mein. You know?
Yes. All right, so let's move on. So, yeah, of course, the Sam Neill Winery is noted for the fact that you put your nose in it and you'd swear to God it's curdled milk. Now, Gerard Depardieu is an actor from France with a big honking nose, and that's about all I know. But anyway, he's got a wine. Let's take a look at this. And this is a French wine of some kind. Oh, I'll get the scent of this. Yeah, I'm getting cow pie. I don't know about anybody else around here.
I'm getting sort of just wet, runny diarrhea. And
now, the other thing is...
Hold it!
What?
Turn off all that sound effect!
What?
How long are you going on with this bit?
What, man? I'm doing the bit...
I'm getting runny diarrhea. I get it already! Diarrhea! Cow pie! Arse! Sphincter! In other words, celebrity wine tastes bad. Is that it?
Where do you get that idea?
Where do I get that idea?
Yeah, Michelle, we like it.
Yeah, I thought I was paying it a compliment.
Are you two guys messing with me?
No, I really,
Are you messing? What do you mean you're paying it a compliment? You just compared Francis Ford Coppola's wine to arse. That's good?
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it. You guys are messing with me, aren't you?
No. Francis Ford Coppola's wine is terrific. just with a slight hint of mule arse.
You guys are messing around. No more of this bit, okay? 15 minutes of this stuff is driving me nuts. Now, what else you got coming up?
Well, I got Pastor William Rennick, and he'll be talking about, I forget.
Great, what a show.
Didn't work, bud.
What?
When you told me to say, no, I ain't doing it, he still didn't get it. Forget it, man. Go outside, man, and grab me another one of those Lipton iced teas, will you? Only this time, get it in the can out of the machine. Don't make it. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Pastor William Rennick ahead on our program tonight, as well as Who Wants to Be a Pagan Sacrifice. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, welcome to Who Wants to Be a Pagan Sacrifice, and thank you very much, folks. My name is Don Congeal, and with us tonight is Mary Burgum of Rome, New York. And tonight, Mary, you could be a human sacrifice here on Who Wants to Be a Pagan Sacrifice. Now, you know how the game is played. You'll be dragged up some concrete steps. When you get to the top, Mary, we'll put a small plume on your head and then force you to dance with a sort of a fan, all right? Then after that, after you've danced, you'll be laid down on your back on some narrow stones, and then we'll cut open your chest and pull out your still-beating heart, which we offer to the idols before us. Now, you understand how the game is played?
Yes, I think I do.
All right. Now, you understand that you're going to have all of this done to you so that you can be... you can have a recording contract with a big company and maybe be a star and maybe not, right?
Yes.
All right. I just want to be clear here. You're willing to be dragged up concrete steps and have your still beating heart pulled from your chest because you want to be have a recording deal and a new washing machine.
Yes, yes.
All right. So you are such a whore that you... Will you come on? All right. All right, Mary, I'd like to introduce you here to Chief Rambone. Chief Rambone is with the ancient tribe. They're called the Huichilobos, and they were actually the original Aztecs, and Chief has the Huichilobo chapter in Canoga Park, California. It's kind of a commemorative. Chief, say hello to Mary.
How are you?
And Chief, you still carry on the traditions of your Aztec ancestors, is that right?
Yes, I do.
All right, great. So tell us what you're going to do.
Well, I think you pretty much cleared it up. You know, cut her still beating heart out of her chest, all that jazz.
All right. So here we go. It's time for Who Wants to Be a Human Sacrifice? And if Mary successfully has her heart extracted from her chest, she gets to be on American Idol. All right? So let's do it. What happened?
Well, my ring finger hit the edge of the bongo drums. it's time, Mary. Lay down on the stones.
Okay.
I just want to be clear, Mary. You know you're going to have your heart cut out of your chest just so you can go on American Idol and all that and get a washing machine and a car.
Yes, I understand.
Okay. Man.
All right, the chief is withdrawing now a dagger from his belt.
Wow.
And he is now cutting open her chest and removing her still beating heart and holding it up before the studio audience and everybody.
Thank you very much, Chief. And we're going to put Mary in a plastic bag and send her to Ryan Seacrest. So that's great. I mean, I don't know what she was thinking, do you?
No, you guys called me and said she wants to have heart cut out of.
What an idiot. Where do we send the washing machine? I guess to her surviving relatives, is that it? All right, we'll send her washing machine to her surviving relatives.
Mary will be wearing a very lovely suit by Halston, of course, with the back cut out of it. This has been Who Wants to Be a Human Sacrifice? You've got to be a jackass to be on this show. I just want to...
Shut up!
Hey, where do I get paid?
All right, 1-800-449-8686. So that was pretty stupid, huh, bud?
Yeah, that was idiotic. That was fun, though. I like to hear about a lady get her heart cut out and stuff.
Well, it's just a little bit. That's exactly what the Aztecs used to do, though. That's just my way of introducing a little education. The Aztecs would drag the, for instance, the captured Spanish conquistadors. Do you know who they were?
No.
Okay, they were like these Spanish guys that came over to North America back in the day, way back, you know, 14th, 15th century. And the Aztecs would capture them, take them up to the top of these stone steps, and cut their hearts out.
Really?
Yeah. And so that's where that was at, anyway. Why don't we just listen to some music for a while? Yeah, David.
Really on a roll tonight, aren't you?
Will you just leave me alone? 1-800-449-8686. Pastor William Rennick coming up. We've got Dan Kilgallen from the Dallas Evening Telegram on the Hall of Fame voting today. And we also have Dave Oliva, LAPD aspirant, talking about his restaurant job as a waiter. Coming up tonight on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Pastor William Rennick joins us from Joyful Union. You're having your bingo night tonight, Pastor?
We are, Phil. We are having a weekly bingo that we raise money for our youth center. And very, very pleased to announce that tonight we have met our $25,000 goal to expand our youth center, put a kitchen and some vending machine and everything like this. And very, very grateful to people coming out tonight. And it's also going to help us to fray the cost. Last night I heard that lady on your show. I've never heard it so funny in my life. That lady, she wanted a kid to sell candy bar.
And, oh, yeah, Bobby Dooley. She was having a kid sell candy. They could go to Mexico.
I thought that was the funniest thing I ever heard. We don't have any children working tonight. We're doing a fundraiser. And we are going to take members of all of our congregation. This is not me and Miss Clara. Anybody who wants to go can come with us to Rome. Because we do want to go to the Vatican and pay our respects to the Pope, even though I'm not Catholic and my congregation is Pentecostal, we do want to go pay our respect to Pope, because it ain't going to be long now. You know, very sick man.
Well, I understand that. Yeah, I guess what, like a death watch or something? I shouldn't call it a death watch.
Well, we want to go pay our respect, but I mean, the fact of the matter remains that it's possible he's going to go to heaven in a chariot of fire, and that I got to see. So
you don't think he's going to go to heaven literally in a chariot of fire?
I don't know. I'll tell you right now, I don't want to miss it. I wouldn't miss it for the world. So we're going to get him what money we can, go over there, go see the Colosseum and all of this, then go over to Vatican, and hopefully we can, and we'll pray for the Holy Father, you know. But I'll tell you right now, that'd be one hell of a thing. If he go to heaven in a chariot of fire, I'll take my clothes off right there. Because I don't believe it's going
to
happen.
Well, who says he goes to heaven in a chariot of fire?
Well, I'll tell you, a lot of what the Catholic people believe, I shouldn't say Catholic, a lot of people believe that there's certain souls. Elijah went to heaven in a chariot of fire. You know that, right?
One of the Old Testament prophets.
That's correct. Bible tells us Elijah was taken to heaven in a chariot of fire. And went up to meet our Lord, you know. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I talked to a friend of mine. He says, you go over to Rome, you're going to see the Pope going to heaven in a chariot of fire. I said, that's the day my clothes come off. Because I'll tell you right now.
Well, what do you mean your clothes come off?
That ain't going to happen. Ain't nobody going to tell me going to happen. But I'll go over and check it out. So we're taking a whirlwind vacation. We're going to go to Rome. And then we'll go by way of paddle boat down the Nile to Cairo to see the Egyptian, what do you call that?
Pyramids?
No, that other thing. The one with the nose blown off.
Oh, the Sphinx.
Yeah, we're going to go see that. Claire didn't see that the first time out. Then we'll go up to the Holy Land of Israel, go to Tel Aviv, all that. I'm hoping I go to Tel Aviv. I want to go and see the Holy Land, but I don't want someone, you know, putting a shoebox in my car. You know what I'm talking about, right? So anyway, we'll go on over there.
Well, you be careful when you're over there, because it certainly is a very dangerous time to be in the Middle East.
All right, we'll be fine. But I'm going to tell you right now, I go over to Rome, and I see the Pope go to heaven in a chariot of fire. I'm nude on Wednesday. And that's the truth.
It ain't going to happen.
I know it's not going to happen.
It ain't going to happen. But, you know, if the Pope dies, then they get everybody together and they elect a new Pope.
Yeah, they do all that white smoke stuff, I know.
All right, Pastor, good luck, good travel, and you will be calling us from over there.
Yes, I will, Phil. I'll be calling you from, hopefully I'll be calling you from the Vatican this time next week. And we'll give you a full update on what's going on with the Holy Father. But I don't think he got much time. I don't care if the guy's out playing volleyball. I don't think he's got much time.
Well, he's very old, and what do you mean you don't care if he's out playing volleyball?
I don't even know that's him. I think they got a dummy double. I think they got some guy that looks like him going out jogging, skiing. Come on.
Well, you don't know, man. If the guy is healthy, he's healthy. If he's not, he's not. Whatever. Nobody is pretending. Thank you very much, Pastor. No one's pretending the guy's going to live forever. If he goes to heaven in a chariot of fire, I'm nude. I'm with you. I mean, I ain't with you, but...
Yeah, that's not a gay.
I mean, I'm saying, in any event, 1-800-449-8686. Coming up later on, Dan Kilgallen from the Dallas Evening Telegram. Is it Dan or Don?
Whatever you decide. I mean, it's Don, Dan.
Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I was talking about my wife and I, you know, getting back together. So I got a letter here, an email from some guy who claims to be a men's advocate, whatever that's supposed to. Just because you call yourself a men's advocate. And I understand that there's a thing going on right now and has been going on, like men got it bad. Men got it bad. You know. That's like saying white people are really kind of suffering discrimination. You know, see, I don't buy any of that. I know, it makes me stupid to some and it makes me unfair to others. I don't buy, and I never have bought, this. You know, white people are now being, discriminated against. Yeah, bull crap. All I got to do is look around this freaking world, man. All I see are white faces. And then the other one I don't buy is men's rights. Yeah, huh? So this guy totally missed the point. I was talking about my wife and I getting back together again. Here's this guy's email. Dear Phil, I love your show and blah, blah. Sorry to hear about your marital problems, but that's all part and parcel of life as an American male. Meaning what, dude? That sometimes you have a problem with your wife or your wife has a problem with you? Okay. Then he goes on to say, you guys with money have it easier, though. You guys with money have it easier, though. How do I have it easier? I'm trying to, in other words, get back together with my wife. All the money in the freaking world ain't going to make that happen. The feminists have us poor guys in the same boat feeling like captives of the Gestapo. I love these guys who use the Hitler and German comparisons, you know. I mean, I do it, but we always use Nazi Germany for laughs whenever we can. Auschwitz, Dachau, we always go for the big laugh. Ain't that right, bud?
Yeah. Dachau, Auschwitz.
It's all really funny. Big Brother follows you everywhere you go if you are divorced with kids. Yeah, we all believe, too, in intact families, but our wives didn't, and they got the kids and child support, too. I see what's happened. This guy got divorced, and he has to pay for his children, which you're supposed to do, Tom Smith, like I think that's your name. And then he says, with your own biological kids, it's very painful. You should learn more about what's happening. Anyway, glad I still hear you on that sports channel. I couldn't find you the other night and got panicked. Number one, dude, you got kids, you got to pay for them, okay? So I don't feel sorry for you there. Number two, spousal support? Whatever, it's the law. Quit crying. And number three, what's painful? What are you exactly complaining about? That you got to pay for your kids or that you're paying spousal support? Or maybe you're one of these guys, and I get a lot of email from these guys. Maybe you got a court order to stay away from your family because you're a psychotic piece of crap, and you're complaining about that? Is that it? I got an email from a guy one time. I'm not allowed to see my kids, and it's really painful, Phil, and you just don't understand. Well, probably with good reason, because you're probably a psycho, and you probably ought to be beaten with a baseball bat. What do you think of that? And then the guy emails me back. Yeah, I thought you were a really nice guy, and you're just a real... Yes, that's right. That's me. Nice guy. Men's advocate. I love that. Okay, so in other words, you're advocating don't pay any child support, don't pay any spousal support, see your kids when you want to, and when you don't have to. In other words, you want to go back to the day when you could just have a kid, drop them off someplace, and if the time comes when, say, they go out into the world and make a success of themselves, you can go bug them and ask for a little bit of bread. Is that it? Like Shaq's old man. Anyway, so that's that, and then I got a few other people crying about stuff, but nothing. Oh, we got an email from the guy who called from Tokyo last night, and he told me all about how he gets the show on something called www.skype.com. And then he figured out that he was being duped by Bobby Dooley. He was the guy that called and couldn't understand why she was charging, making the kids pay for a vacation to Mexico. Anyway, thank you. Thank you very much there, Frank. Have fun there in Tokyo, dude. You've been living in Japan too long. That's your problem. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, Dan Kilgallen to talk about the Hall of Fame on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.